Our scripture passages this morning that you have in your as an insert in your bulletins come from the Old Testament book of Exodus and the New Testament letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, very, very, very familiar. From the passage from Exodus, the point we're going to be focused on really comes at the end of the passage in verses 5 and 6, although they're not enumerated there, but it's regarding what gets passed down from generation to generation, right? And in Exodus 20, it's written, "Then God spoke all these words, 'I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that's in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them.'" And then this is the part to really listen to. "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And the children will suffer for the sins of the parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate and disregard me. But I'll show steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments." Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a comment on that passage about these ancient and primitive words that were written in very simple times, right? About 2,500 years ago. For the longest time, and honestly, even when I still hear those words on the surface, they're pretty harsh. They can sound, hear the words about, you know, that God saying, you know, children are going to suffer because of the sins of the parents. It's hard. Or blessed as a result of the love of the parents. That part seems good. That seems fair. But I had always thought in reading these words, I had thought that it was God that was doing the blessing or the cursing. Until I read it more closely and really the way that it was intended. As in, because I'm a jealous God, because I love you dearly, yes, of course I want your love, right? I don't want you to get hurt. I want to warn you about a gigantic risk and a gigantic benefit. That if you have any love at all for your children, you will want to know this. And this is not an external punishment. But it's actually an incredibly astute psychological and sociological observation that social scientists, social workers, therapists now study and know as standard practice, which is that our dysfunctions and our errors do, in fact, get passed down from one generation to the next and to the next. They get visited upon. And it's really hard to get rid of these dysfunctions. It's really hard to shake some things like low self-esteem if that just gets pounded into you at a young age. Or being disregarded, or feelings of insecurity, or narcissism, or if you grow up in a cynical family system, you internalize that and you become critical yourself. You become critical of yourself and critical of others and just pick. And you know what? Even if you know that, even if you fight against that and you go, "Oh, I'd love to get rid of that," it's still there. So it's tough. And left unchecked, we pass these things on to the next generation and the next. Now, the same is true with our faith. We also pass on our faith as well, and how we practice that, or how we don't practice that. And if you're young and if your family doesn't take you to church or has a cynical view of you know, God or religion or whatever, we know that the chances are extremely heavy that you will all of a sudden not, you know, just out of the blue develop a warm heart about it or start practicing it when you grow up. So we tend to pass on to the following generation whatever good or whatever bad was given to us. And that's not just true with our individual family. It's not just true with ourselves. It's true with our entire culture. We're born into a culture. And our culture will have a certain sense of reverence and gratitude, or maybe a certain sense of entitlement, or not. Our culture has a certain soul, a certain sense of peace or anxiety, or health or anger or self-centeredness. We receive the environment that others have created for us, and we step into that, including our physiological environment, right? We inherit the either pollution or the cleanliness that others have created for us. And the momentum of all of these systems that went before us, we don't come from nothing. And it's very hard to change that. It's very hard to pass on something different to our children. So we want to be very, very intentional about that. And that's love. Now, this is true with the problem of our inner cities, with poverty, where we know that lack of education begets lack of education. We know that absent or teen parenting begets absent or teen parenting. You don't learn it from nothing. We know that family and cultural violence begets family and cultural violence. And the thing is, it's not God that's doing this to the subsequent generations. As a matter of fact, God is saying, would you please, please, people, would you please stop? Would you please pay attention? Because here is the healthy thing. Here is the loving thing. And you can see the way the things are going. Here's the map of what happens. That if you take a left, this is where you're going to go. And if you take a right, this is where you're going to go. And I love you so much that I want you to know. I think about our daughter, Audra, who drives a small Jeep and, you know, I put big tires on it and everything. And, you know, and so I tell her, I mean, if I were a great parent, probably wouldn't have her driving that at all, you know, but I tell her, I say, you know, honey, it doesn't stop well in the rain, and you can't turn the wheel fast like you can in a regular car, because you're going to flip over. If I were a bad parent, I would not say that. I would not say, watch out. So we see that this ancient passage, it's not a primitive, it's not a silly, it's not a mean passage, it's not a simpleton view, but we wrestle with this truth in our day-to-day lives. In our country, we wrestle with it, with what's going on all around the world, personally, socially, environmentally, spiritually, and there's great news here. There is good news, and the good news is, of course, it's free will. It's free will. There's a flip side to this, and that is that we can choose differently. And even though the sins of our predecessors do get visited upon us, the blessings of those who honor and love God, and what that means is those people, you know, when we live with reverence, when we live with respect for ourselves and for others, for life, for nature, for the rights of others, when we live with kindness, when we live with integrity, we live with justice, that makes a big impact And those blessings are carried on profoundly, and it says, you know, to the thousandth generations. And so we choose, right? So we choose out of love. And that's where the 1 Corinthians 13 comes in, this fabulous guide. It's a how-to. It's a step-by-step instruction guide of how to create a positive and loving legacy that every one of us here is working on. That's why we're here. And if we don't have kids, you know, if you don't have kids, we still have a culture that we are working on. 1 Corinthians, what it takes to build happy, healthy relationships, marriage, friendships, families, culture. And so, let's just take this time to read this together, okay? And not rush through it. But just give ourselves the gift of letting these words speak to us. Okay? So together, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And love never ends. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. And so faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So I thought about this a lot last week. This whole question of what do we want to pass on? And of course, this being Mother's Day, I thought, you know, why not interview the experts? Right? Why not talk to people who've been through the mill and have learned some stuff, like older parents, seasoned parents, grandparents, and then talk to some children? And so a little while ago, that's what I did. I interviewed a number of seasoned parents and in the congregation, grandparents and some children. And talking to these three groups was an education. Wonderful. And so I just want to take a few moments to share some of the wisdom that I found. First from the older seasoned parents, and I think at this point I can call them older because, you know, we're in that group, right, of the older. We're seasoned. Parents and grandparents. And the question was, what do you know now about parenting that you wish you knew before? Right? And so many of them said, you know, I asked them that, and they said, wow, what I wish I knew before, right? And a lot of them laughed, and a lot of them said, you know, I could write a book about that. And so many of them said, you know what? I wish I would have enjoyed it more at the time. I wish I would have enjoyed the whole thing, like when they were younger, when they're older, everything. You know, my part, their part. Less focused on trying to make sure that I did everything right. Right? I took everything so seriously. And I think about worshiping idols, you know, and perfection and doing everything right. I look back, you know, we're watching some of our home videos and the kids' soccer games. So like Scotty's soccer game when he was like 6 years old or something. And I'm watching it again, it's like this time warp, and all the parents are going like, go, you know, go Scotty, go Joey, go, go, go. And there's this fervor there. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You know? It just play with the ball. That, you know, if you're picking the daisies and that's your thing, you know what? Pick the daisies. One grandparent said, I'd be more committed to listening, less committed to always pushing my opinion. She said, you know, you listen more, you'll be surprised what you learn. A number of grandparents said, I'd be more aware that I was shaping children more by what I did than by what I said. And my mom's voice echoes in my head. You know, Paul, you know, actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. She's been gone for 35 years. And thank you, Mom, I'm still hearing your words. There's one mother whose children are now fully grown said, you know, now I would say, let them take their hard knocks and face their disappointments when they're young. Let them feel it, right? Not to protect them so much. She said, with my second child, I did that. She goes, I was so protective, you know, with my first child. But as you know, she said to me, he's grown up with so many problems of dealing with reality because he was too protected. I thought I was insulating him in a good way. She said, my second child is doing great. Let them take their hard knocks when they're young. There's one grandfather looking back, and some of his kids struggled a lot and others struggled much less. He said, support your kids come hell or high water, whatever they're going through, and never give up. And I heard in my mind, love bears all things and endures all things and hopes all things, and love never ends. I thought, you know, there's a lot of ways to support your children. And I think about, you know, I think about the number of 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. I've had 60-year-old men in my office, and holding, trying to hold back tears. And some of them, just with the tears flowing, are just saying, you know, just once, right? Just once. Couldn't he have said, couldn't my dad have said, you know, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I love you. Just once, would it have been so much? It doesn't cost a dime, but dramatically changes lives. And it's never too late. You know, no matter how old we might be, no matter how successful we might be, we yearn for those words, to hear that, to feel that pride and that love, and to, it's never too late, you know, to let your children know in no uncertain terms, I'm proud of you. You know what? You're doing a good job. Love rejoices in the right. You know, and sometimes you have to catch them doing something right. Say, what a great job. It's hard. It's hard to have somebody's life in your hands, right? And because of that, you know, we may feel like we've got to do everything right. Not that that would ever be the case in Fairfield County. I'm just spitballing it here. I don't know. It could be, you know, just, but let's say, what if? I was talking to an older mother, and she said, you know, I wish I knew that my parents didn't have it all together. as much as I thought I did. She goes, I didn't realize that they struggled because I didn't see it, because everything on the surface, it just looks so smooth. And I didn't realize that they worried about things, that sometimes they stayed up at night and didn't really know what to do next exactly, just the way I do now. She goes, I didn't realize it was tough for them to balance everything, all the different parts of their life, right? I didn't realize that for such a long time. So I felt like I was screwing up. I felt like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that it feels like this inside? They never let on. Tough being a parent. So I interviewed some seasoned parents and some grandparents. Then I talked about 30 children. And I said, you know, what do you think makes a great parent? And I was astounded at what I did not hear. And what I did not hear was a great parent gets me things. I did not hear a great parent would let me do anything that I want. Nope. The opposite. In fact, one clear desire that surfaced is the number one thing that they want is to be known. To be listened to. To be heard and respected as a human being, as a whole person. You know, not to be talked to and say, well, what do you think about this? And then, you know, and then they say, and you go, and to just be, and then they'd be corrected on what they say, to be, you know, have that tuned up and taught why their response is inadequate in some way, can be improved upon every time. Ugh, how does that make you feel after a while? An 11-year-old said, I wish my parents knew my thoughts so they could know when I'm happy and when I'm hurt, and they could know what to say and do. And I said, so, you know, do you want them to read your mind? And she said, no, I want them to know me. And I said, well, how could they do that? And she said, just by talking and just spending time and asking and listening. And one girl said, I love this. She said, a great parent doesn't interrupt you. And I thought, wow, I have done that so many times. Point taken. A 13-year-old said, you know, a great parent who's someone who listens to you and watches out for you to make sure you're careful with your life. I love the way that was phrased. And asks about and knows where you're going and who you're going to be with. Yep, actually said that. One child said, a great parent remembers what it's like to be a kid. Right? And isn't so serious all the time and plays with you sometimes. Can remember and understand what you're going through. I remember saying to my dad and through tears and just tremendous frustration one time, I don't know, it was about like 10 years old or 15 or 16 or whatever. It's like, you know, for God's, you know, were you ever young? Were you ever young? Do you remember what it was like? Have you completely forgotten? One girl said, you know, to a kid, it all seems important. I know that to adults, some of the things that seem important to a kid don't seem important to an adult, and they tell you that. She said, but they are to us. Kids are very smart when we listen to them, very revealing. Adults are very smart when we listen to them. Very revealing. Our partners are very smart when we listen to them. Very revealing. to be known. Then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. That's a description of heaven. So just to conclude, I just want to share this. A little girl said, you know, a great parent is always there for you when you need them and will help you when you get sick, because parents don't get grossed out with messy stuff. I didn't want to tell her, actually, we do. We just don't want to show it. Not that there are any kids with us right now, but we kind of do. But love. This complete love. The ultimate legacy. May we treat it with loving care. Amen.
Most loving God, we give our thanks this day for all the women in our lives, all of the women who have cared for and nurtured and protected us. This Mother's Day, we remember the many sacrifices mothers make for their children and families, and the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams thought beyond reach. We also remember all those who have helped fill the void when mothers die early or are absent. And we offer special prayers of love for stepmothers, for grandmothers and aunts, for sisters and cousins, for friends and teachers and coaches, and also for the men of the families who carry the love. As a mother protects her child, so do you, God. Take each one of us under your care. You are always here for us whenever we reach out to you. Some days we move along life without worry, confident in our own skills, happy with our results. And we forget to end our day with thoughts of gratitude for all the blessings you have given us that allow us to achieve. But here and now, in this moment, we open our hearts to your loving care. Here and now, in this moment, we stand humbly before you, thankful for all the blessings that we have been given, for all that we are, and for all that we have. Here and now, in this moment, we open our minds to you, letting you into our deepest thoughts, and asking you to shine your light of forgiveness into the deepest recesses of our feelings and minds. Heal us from our anxieties, our perceived failures, our self-criticism, and our judgment of others. Fill our hearts with unending and unconditional love for all your people, understanding that in each one of them lies a piece of you. And through the love and forgiveness you give us through Jesus Christ, we will return to wholeness. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.